Welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week for your listening pleasure. Now, we have no scheduled guest today. For some reason, there's a dial tone in the background there. I don't know. Anyway, we're trying to connect up Suzanne Peisel, and we'll get to it when we get to it. She'll probably message us or something, so just leave it be. Let me rant for a second, bro. Let me rant for a second. Right, because last night I was really depressed, you know. I know that kind of sounds really strange because I was happy and jovial and joking around and what have you, and we had so many laughs and good times on the show yesterday. And what's interesting is as I was editing yesterday's video and I saw myself and my guest smiling and laughing and generally having a good time, I didn't feel depressed anymore. And a realization hit me. When you're exposing yourself to people who are happy and healthy, laughing, and generally having a good time, it infects you. Not entirely dissimilar from how if you hang around with people who are incredibly depressing and black holes from which no light can escape, you get really depressed and down in the dumps, don't you? But, yeah, I thought that this was a profound realization for me, that I can actually cheer myself up by watching myself have a good time on the show. And I was listening to myself on the radio. And this kind of was starting to, like, flare up a bit of narcissistic streak in me. I was like, wow, I'm actually a talk radio show host. I mean, seriously, this is a strange sensation. Here I am, and people are listening to my voice. Who am I? You know what I'm saying? What do I have to contribute that's so important that necessitates a radio show? And I was just thinking, am I trying to justify my existence by ranting and raving and giving my own narrow opinion on things? I think the answer is probably yes. I am trying to justify my existence. I was just thinking about my father, who passed away about 3 years ago. And when I was a boy, I didn't really have much contact with him at all for the first 10 years. And then the next 17 years, virtually no contact at all whatsoever. Maybe once a year or something like that, he'd have dinner with a whole bunch of other people. So I never knew my father. I mean, really, I actually learned more about my father during the speeches people gave at his funeral than I did during my entire life. And my brother and my sisters, they knew him a lot longer than I did. And when the anniversary of his death comes around or the anniversary of his birthday, they're all like, oh, I've got such fond memories and I remember this and I remember what he taught me and what a good father he was. I don't share any of those memories at all. Like, at all. My brother and my sisters knew my father. I did not. And so when we talk about him on these anniversaries and I share all these memories, it's actually really, it puts me down in the dumps because there's no possibility that I'll ever get to know him. Never. He's gone. He's dead. And people tell me, oh, well, why didn't you contact him and blah, 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 blah. Says, I was a child. Why didn't my father try to contact me? And I think this is part of the reason why I've turned out the way that I have, because when you don't have a father, you purposely, as they say in Kill Bill 2, you purposely try to accumulate father figures, and I've got so many of them. My good friend Mikhail Pierce, who is my bandmate, he's like 50 plus, he's like one of my best friends. My friend Jono's a couple of years older than I. My good friend Jonathan Eisen from Uncensored Magazine. He's been a real good father figure to me. All of the activists and patriots and what have you that I associate within this movement, almost all of them are around about twice my age. And it's not the same, though. You know, it's almost like, despite the fact that you are appreciated by many honourable, decent, older men and father figures, you still can't get over that fact that your own father himself couldn't even be bothered getting to know you. Yeah. And that's something I'm going to have to carry with me for the rest of my life, because there's no way I can reconcile that. I can forgive and forget, perhaps, maybe, I don't know. It's kind of difficult to forget something that didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? if that's all you remember is nothing happening, how exactly do you forget that? How exactly do you forget the neglect? And this is something that has indeed affected all of humanity, and part of the agenda of the New World Order is to destroy families. And just like most boys who never knew their fathers, I have a criminal conviction. In fact, I got two for cannabis. I was really violent as a child, and I was always getting myself into trouble. I got suspended from high school 17 plus times. 17 times. Being stood down, suspended, coming this close to expulsion. You know what I'm saying? I was a really, really messed up kid. And now I'm actually still a very messed up man. I don't know how long it might take for me to build a bridge and get over it. But I understand that I'm not the only one that's been affected in this way. The other question is, if my family were so familiar with him and I'm not, why is it that I don't get on with my family quite so well? I mean, they're good people, they're intelligent and what have you. It's just, how many of your relatives, I mean, think about this seriously, how many of your relatives would you still be hanging out with, or would you hang out with at all, had they not shared common blood with you? You know, seriously, think about it. I was just wondering this myself last night, and the answer is probably none of them. Really. And that's a really sad, depressing thought. My sisters, whenever I see them, they're... It's almost like I'm still the little brother, you know? Like, they don't respect me. They don't listen to me. If I say things, even if I just basically open my mouth to say virtually anything, they get angry and after 60 seconds start yelling at me for absolutely no freaking good reason. And that's really depressing for me. Because I think that I've made good. I've made lemonade out of lemons. I've created a media platform. I've helped many people who were down in the dumps get back on their feet because I just showed them that I cared. I was just thinking about my good friend Russell Malcolm the other night, who was arrested for no reason, has his house taken off him, his business shut down by the cops because he was exposing corruption. And he was telling me how he couldn't open mail. He was so stressed and shaken by these experiences and all this legal documentation and jargon that he was being put through, that he was virtually having... He was about to die because of the stress he was suffering. And then I came along, got him to sit down in this very chair where I'm sitting now, and filmed him reading a 56-page dossier about his experiences. and I spent maybe 20 hours or so. Got to bed around 8 a.m. that a few weeks later, when I actually got around to editing it, cutting out all the little tiny pauses, little mistakes, repeats and things of that nature, and then put them up all on YouTube for them. And instead of being stressed to the point where his body's about to give out, where his mind cannot function, the next time I saw him, he seemed, instead of depressed, he seemed angry, like as if the life he had lived was suddenly being returned to him, and his power returned, his strength, and he wasn't sad anymore. He was motivated, he had energy, he had strength, and in no small way, I'm part of the cause of his revitalization. And I like to help people in such a way, because in the way that only I can. And the other day we had Paul Heinrich on the show, who was hog-tied, naked, beaten, and left in a cell for 2 days without food or water or a bathroom. And while we were talking about his experience, he had a great time even recalling it, because it's so painful and stressful. And after the interview, again, same with Russell, he felt a hell of a lot better, more motivated, because somebody actually cared, and cared enough to record it, and cared enough to promote it, and cared enough to put it out there. Cared enough to video it and edit the video well, so it's not just so freaking boring one camera angle the whole time. I think what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to do for others, strangers in a lot of ways, what was missing in my life, just having somebody around who really cared and was willing to go that extra mile to ensure that you knew it. My father may have cared about me, but I would never know it. You know? I think this is a good way of living your life, for lack of better circumstances. You know what I'm saying? If you can't right your own wrongs because that time is past and gone, it doesn't mean that you can't right wrongs at all. You can be there. You can help people. You can do the right thing. You can create things that do not exist. You can use your creativity and your heart to improve the lives of those around you. That is what this show is about. I want to improve your life, ladies and gentlemen, by helping you to understand things as I understand them. And I could, my understanding might be wrong, but at the end of the day, we do generally have a lot of fun with the guests on this show. We do laugh a decent amount, tell jokes and what have you. And that's something that is really sadly missing from a lot of our lives, isn't it? And I think that's why being a truther is really hard. Because everything's so freaking serious and painful, and you feel rejected a lot of the time, particularly by those closest to you, and you start to get angry with your fellow man, you start to hate everybody, you start to avoid people, you don't want to have stupid conversations with people that don't respect your ideas. You don't. You know, you avoid it like the plague. And I hope that I provide some relief for you. Maybe a little bit of therapy of some kind. As it is, also for myself, And I think that's what being a talk radio show host is about for me. I'm helping myself by helping others get their stories out, and helping you by helping you realize that not everything is dark and terrible and uber serious. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Uh-oh. Speedwaying rappers, but I've never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am not yet credible, so until I
welcome
say
back.
Incredible, I'll say that I'm incredible, respectable and professional.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. You really will. Honestly. You know, just think about all the things that should drive you crazy. And it's not like the big things that happen to you that drive you nuts. It's the little things. Like your shoelaces becoming untied. Or that spot on that dish or that pan that just won't come off no matter how hard you clean it. The little malfunctions in your car that prevent your radio from working. All of these tiny little things that happen every day are slowly but surely driving us all frickin' mad. I say embrace the madness. Become one with the crazy person inside you. You can't avoid it. You can't beat it. You may as well join it. You know, you just think to yourself, I am crazy. That actually feels quite comfortable. I am nuts. I'm insane. Despite the fact that definitions of such don't really currently fit in society. Society probably thinks I am insane, but the reality is it's actually society that's nuts. Don't you think? You ever feel like you're the one person who's still alive in a horde full of dead zombies? It's closer to the truth than you might think. Isn't that sad? Think about it. And I think this is probably why zombie movies and The Walking Dead, so on and so forth, have become so popular lately. It's because this is how everybody feels. You know, you just want to do something constructive by going out and decapitating a few people that are lumbering along like they're doing nothing with their lives. And it's just the added benefit that, you're justified in exterminating them because, hey, they're already dead. And if you don't kill them, they'll eat you. But let's think about how we want society to run. Now, how do we want society to run in the collectivism? That phrase, and in and of itself, is a fallacy. There is no we. There is only you and me. There is no I in team. You know why? Because there is an I in individual, and teams are not about benefiting the individual. All right? That's the really strange thing about team sports, groupthink, collectivism, politics, voting in particular. You all get into this groupthink mentality. And we think that because we're thinking as a group and abandoning everything about us that is individual, that somehow we're going to make the world a better place. It's not true. The world will never be a better place so long as you never think about anything other than everybody else and what everybody else thinks. It's called conformity. It's called obedience. Even Matt Damon said the other day, I love Team America, it's so good. Said the other day that the problem society has is not civil disobedience, it's civil obedience. And he's right. Stop obeying. I mean, I don't know how long it took me to realize when I was working as a salesperson, how long it took me to realize that all the people that worked above me were scum, which is bad people without conscience. I don't know how long it took me to realize that I was getting paid so that I could be taken advantage of, so that they could make more money for themselves without having to do the work that I could do for them. You know? They just sit there creaming it while everybody else does all the work. That's collectivism. And I think that's the reason I physically can't actually go to a job interview or be employed anymore. All right? I suffer from a mental illness that I've made up by myself with zero scientific evidence, just like all the other mental illnesses. I'm not joking, by the way. All mental illnesses that are in the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, there's like they add a couple of hundred every year or something. Guess what scientific evidence they've got to verify every single one of those? What blood test? Anything? No? No. Not one. There's no evidence to suggest that any mental disorder even freaking exists. There's conditions. That's true. There's people who suffer from this, that, or the other, and they've got certain symptoms, but you can't actually blood test them and prove that they've got it. And you can't actually say that this person's got it and that person hasn't via a scientific verification process. It's all subjective opinion. For example, somebody who might be, dyslexic, bipolar, or ADD, or whatever, if you have a look at the other definitions for them, they're called creative geniuses, entrepreneurs, artists. And so instead of allowing them to recognize that they actually have all this creative potential, and the reason why they're actually not fitting in with society is because society doesn't foster and help to grow said creative potential, they drug you up, okay? They tried to drug me up, ADD medication. I walked the frack out of that doctor's office and I never even paid him $150 for the test he'd run on me, okay? I'm not mentally ill, not really. I think I'm perfectly sane. However, because of my previous experiences, bad experiences with employment, bad experiences with police, I'm now allergic to being employed. I'm now allergic to being roughed up by the cops. Something rises up in me that prevents me from tolerating it. No, I mean, even my best friend, Jono, gave me a job selling insulation. I went in, had a conversation with him, showed what I was going to do for the job, and then the night before going into work and doing door knocking and everything, I like had a panic attack sitting there lying in bed. You know, I couldn't catch my breath. That's how stressful even working for my best friend in an employment position is. You understand? I cannot, under any circumstances, ever be employed under somebody ever again. I'm an entrepreneur by my very nature. I come from a long line of entrepreneurs. And it's beneath me. My mother was once unemployed and my auntie told her, you need to go get a job packing bags at the supermarket. And Mum's like, no, I'm not doing that. And she goes, what, do you think packing bags at the supermarket is beneath you? She goes, well, yes. Yes, it is. Right? Working for other people, being a slave, is beneath me. I have too much creative potential, skills, and abilities to allow somebody else to exploit them. Not when I can use them any way I choose and help anyone I want. Okay? It's freaking beneath me to do otherwise. I don't think everybody's got the same experience as I have to teach you that very important lesson. Working for somebody who is less intelligent than you, has less integrity and less creativity, is beneath you. And I have a physical reaction when people are trying to get me to do things that are beneath me. A physical reaction. A panic attack. This is my pain, this is my suffering, this is my baggage. I don't know how to stop it. I don't know how to get rid of it. Even if I wanted to go back and be a slave and earn $2,000 a week-ish that I was earning before, even if I could do that, I wouldn't want to. I would prefer to be broke as a motherfracker and be free than have all the money in the world, but have somebody else determine what I can do with my time at all times. You see what I'm saying? You've got to sacrifice all of these creature comforts. You have to sacrifice the gilded cage so that you might spread your wings and fly. Don't do what people tell you. They're only telling you to do something because they're jealous of your own ability to outwit them, to be more creative. And they tell you, and this is the thing that really effed me off, they tell you to stop doing what you're doing if what you're doing is way better than they can do it. You know? They literally hold back the whole potential of humanity. I was watching a TEDx talk last night about disobedient thought. And the lecturer was coming, and he really hates parallel parking, but he was coming into town anyway, and there was a person in front of him with a trailer on her car, you know, and she probably came from the country, just like he did, car covered in crap. And there's one parallel parking space. They both saw it. She went for it first. And she tries to back in with a trailer to a parking space that only has one space for one car. And he's sitting there going, you fool. It's just never going to work. And so he's sitting there quite happy with the fact that he's about to get that parking space once she realizes that she can't fit. But then something very interesting happened. She got out of her car, unhitched the trailer, stood it on its end, and then parallel parked her car right in front of it. And it fit. That is what I'm talking about. Everybody else will be judging you, saying you can't do it, it's not possible, because they're not bright enough to figure it out for themselves how it can be done if you don't follow the rules. And this is what education, this is why I didn't like high school either. It's probably why I got suspended so many times. I was always trying to have fun and do things of my own accord, and that just didn't fit with the curriculum. It didn't help either that I was really fat and getting abuse. I remember when I was in Form 1 when I was 11 years old. 11 years old. There's 31 children in my classroom, and I think 29 of them gave me abuse all day, every day. Every day. You have any idea what it's like to be surrounded 29-1. The other one person wasn't even my friend. They just kept to themselves and didn't do anything. You know? Any idea what it's like to be outnumbered 29-1 by abusive little bastards every day you go to school and hating, having to even leave the home in the morning, thinking about killing yourself and actually getting out the scissors, having reviewed how to cut your wrist properly, and then instead using them to cut up a card or something like that. I can't remember what it was that I did, but I remember something my brother told me was, if you ever commit suicide, I ain't going to come to your funeral. I'll come after your funeral and I will piss on your grave for putting us all through that. And I've never even considered suicide again, because that was actually quite profound, my brother telling me that. Life really sucks. I don't think people have much of an inclination how badly life sucks, because they don't really think about it. I mean, think about it. You know, you go to your slave job, you're stuck in the slave traffic, listening to the slave radio, you've packed your slave lunch, you go into the slave building, your slave boss orders you around in your slave duties. Then when your slave duties are done for the day, you get back in your slave job car and you go back to your slave dwelling and you drink some slave beer and watch some slave television in order to prevent yourself from thinking about or thinking too much about how you're a slave. That's life for most people. And I see all this potential in the human condition, all this creative potential being squandered. It's not encouraged. It's something that is so painful for me to behold, to see my brothers and sisters that suffer this system that prevents you from being who you are, that tells you that you should act a certain way, that compels you if you don't want to anyway. You know what I'm saying? That really pisses me off. There's so much more we could be doing with ourselves than being a gosh dang slave, in my opinion. And I'm not going to say I could be wrong, because I'm not wrong. I'm right. And it's society that is wrong. It's the education system that is wrong. It is all of the people that have told you that you're not good enough that are wrong. You listen to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Well, there's only one thing I need. I got some so-called friends, they'll smile right to my face, all when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh no, no. Oh no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you?
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about making sure that you're on the right side. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. On the side of freedom. On the side of integrity. On the side of just blatant honesty. I feel like I'm very honest on these radio broadcasts about who I am, the damaged individual that I've become. And it's, I don't know, maybe I've developed my narcissism because of the fact that I don't get appreciated, and so I'm forced by that to really appreciate myself and actually try to. But it's actually really, really hard, you know. And just remember, you know, there's nothing necessarily wrong with narcissists. I mean, Muhammad Ali, Bruce Lee, Steve Jobs, Albert Einstein, they're all narcissists. They're really brilliant at what they do. They weren't telling everybody they were best at what they did because they were full of themselves. They actually were. I'm really, really good at talking to people. I'm a really good talk radio show host. I'm a good filmmaker. I'm a decent man. And I feel very proud of that fact. Despite all the crap that I've been through, I've managed to maintain that kind of level of integrity within myself. And it's not easy. I mean, honestly, I could be a liar. I could be a deceiver. I could sell out, be a COINTELPRO op piece of crap. But I won't. Ever. Because I can't. I believe in myself. And I love myself too strongly to be somebody else's little wench. You know what I'm saying? And I think that this is part of the reason why I'm actually capable of doing this and doing it 5 days a week on this wonderful platform that the good people at American Freedom Radio give me, that our talented pro bono working board ops are still there doing it, you know? None of us are in it for the money, you know? If we were, there'd have to be something mentally wrong with us. You know what I'm saying? What are you trying to do? Live in poverty for the money? It's nuts, isn't it? I would like to help these board ops actually get some coin or whatever, and trying to sort out some advertisers for them and what have you. But you know, it's not easy because I don't like going after business opportunities and things of that nature. I prefer to just do what I'm doing and just hope, like, frack, that people appreciate it enough to donate something, you know? I just pray that people go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and click on that subscribe button so that they... Let's just say I'm recognised for the work that I do, the amount of work that I get accomplished when virtually nobody else in this country... Well, actually, no, not virtually. Nobody else in this country. Nobody. Full stop. There's 4 million New Zealanders in this country and a million abroad. Out of 5 million New Zealanders, there is only one that is a five-day-a-week talk radio show talking about this kind of material. You know, the truth. Scumbaggery. That kind of thing. I'm the only one. Now, I could be proud of that I've made myself into literally a historical figure, all right? Historically speaking, there's never been a New Zealander in all of the years that radio has been around that has an American-based talk radio show, okay? So technically, I'm doing something that is historical here. And it occurs to me, of course, that when I'm doing this job, it's not just myself that I'm doing it for. In fact, I'm really kind of not doing it for myself. It's not really a choice. It's a lack of options, as I like to say, because there's so much pain and frustration that is entailed with doing this kind of work. I mean, talk radio is not for the faint of heart. Most talk radio shows fail within the first year, so, in many cases within the first 6 months. People just can't hack it. It's really, really difficult to come up with something to talk about when you've got no material. And it occurs to me as well that the reason I'm doing this, or reason I'm capable of doing it, sorry, is because of the listeners. I mean, all of the guests that we have come on have basically been suggestions from listeners for the most part. And I'm really, really grateful for that because it's quite difficult. I mean, if you want to interview somebody different every day, you've got to find somebody different every day. And because I'm interviewing and editing every day, finding somebody is like virtually impossible. I don't have the time or the energy at the end of the night, you know. I'm going to bed 3 a.m. regularly, up late editing, posting archives, and so on and so forth. I don't have time to do accumulate guests and go to their websites and vet them and find out who I could have on the show today and so on and so forth. I don't have any of that ability, you know. I got too much responsibilities in order to do that. That's why I'm really grateful for the listeners to kind of like pick up where I'm slack. And in New Zealand, this is an incredibly important job that I've gotten myself into, and I am so appreciative to the good people that run the radio stations around the country that rebroadcast this program, like Rush FM, Dags FM, and Ifinity FM, so that I'm broadcasting from the South Island to the tip of the North Island. You know, this is something that I'm really, really grateful for, that people actually believe in me enough that they are willing to broadcast this program, because it's very controversial. Very controversial. There are so many reasons why people would not listen to this radio broadcast, because they switch off instantly, and they might even attack the radio station for even having these kind of ideas and thoughts on. And their bravery and their diligence of putting up with me, putting up with all that abuse and everything is extraordinary to me. Quite extraordinary. And at the same time, I get lots of spam and abuse and things like that. I've got a whole abuse folder on my computer. I just take screenshots of all this abuse that I get, and I don't know why I'm doing that per se. Maybe it's just to illustrate one day to people that I'm not having a fun time to a large degree while I'm doing this, you know? it's actually quite painful. I actually have to suffer and go through a lot of stress just in order to keep doing what I'm doing. A lot of false accusations. Like, I got this one this morning from Lozmon, L-O-Z-Z-M-O-N, on YouTube. What did he say to me? He said, you're a plant, Vinny. I don't know when they turned you, but asking for donations with all the BS you just said, that's low. You know what you've done. Why would I ask for donations if I'm bought and paid for? See, it's not only the fact that I have to deal with this abuse, but with the fact that none of it is true. Okay? I remember when I was a kid in high school, I got suspended one time because somebody lied about me. You know, we were having a conversation. Even back then, I was a really deep thinker as a kid. And we were outside on the picnic table outside the student form common room, and we were having a discussion with a South African, a Maori girl, and myself. And I was talking about racism, and I wondered what racism actually is. You know, how do different races express their racism of other races? And I made the point that what Caucasians do is they often make jokes about other races in order to belittle them. And the Māori girl, I think her name was Rangatoa, she asked me, okay, what's an example of that? And I go, okay, what do you call a Māori on a clothesline? A Māori go round. And the South African guy laughed. The Māori girl and I didn't. And the very next day, I was called into the deputy principal's office. And they said that I'd been racist and that I'd said Māoris were all bums and things of this nature, none of which was true. You can't even have a conversation, an honest conversation about what racism is without the person, and Rangatoa was the person who reported me, lying, literally lying. Because I had tried to have an honest conversation about what racism was and actually tried to illustrate my point with some form of honesty. And what was really strange about that is the other person at the table agreed that I had been racist and agreed that I had said those things. And I was just blown away. It's like, you were there. You heard exactly what I said. And I got suspended for 2 days for that. 2 days for having an honest conversation about what racism is. You know? And that's like my entire life story, basically. I'm the only one who's not afraid to say the truth, to actually speak honestly, to go where others fear to tread. And as a direct result, people lie about me and try and attack me and defame me and destroy my life. Because they don't like honesty. They don't like integrity. They don't like thinking deeply. Well, frack you, Rangatoa. Frack you. Frack all of you people. I mean, seriously. You want to come and criticize me? Go right up, frack ahead. Okay? I can take it. I'll be right back after the show. Don't you go in the box.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com from the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island changed nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, where part-time jobs as an eco light bulb are the norm, and they piss on you, the government does, without the courtesy of calling it chemtrails. And I have this, I'm going on a bit of a rant today, and I apologise if this is upsetting anybody. In the last segment I was talking about racism and how I'm accused of racism. All right, to say that I'm racist is just nuts. All right, I've been invited to the Temple of the Four Winds, the sacred Temple of the Four Winds by the Kingitanga, the actual Māori bloodlines of the chiefs, invited me down to their sacred temple. They have never, ever invited a single media person ever in the 100 years or so that temple has been there, even when it got burnt down by the British. Okay, I'm the first media person to ever be invited down there. That's how racist I am. You know why? Because they trust me. They trust me to cover their issues precisely as they should be covered. And what happens in this society is that if you're losing an argument, you give somebody an attack. You know, you say you're this, you're that, or you're the other. These people who do such a thing are just simply losing an argument. And because they're losing the argument, they decide to call you a name in the hopes that you'll go on the defensive instead of continuing the attack. You know? Oh, well, I'm not racist. You know, it's more like you're a scumbag and you're a liar and a cheat and a thief and a piece of trash scumbaggery individual. Okay? That's what you are. You call me racist, you don't have any evidence, I'll call you all of those names instead. And I do have evidence to back up my claims. Okay? This is why I feel confident speaking about it, because I'm not lying. And I don't resort to that kind of BS in order to win an argument. An argument's supposed to be put on the basis of evidence. Okay? Evidence. If you ain't got any evidence, you don't have an argument. It's just that simple, isn't it? Problematic difficulties with the general population, especially those who are closest to you, and you recognise that, of course, despite the fact that you're telling the truth, despite the fact that you are correct, people still won't believe it, people still won't look at the evidence, and people will still call you a racist anyway. This is their agenda. To stop people from saying what they think. That's what political correctness is really all about, isn't it? To stop people from saying what they think. I don't agree with racism because I believe that there actually isn't any races. There's only one, the human race. And we're all brothers and sisters in this one family. To hate somebody else, literally hate somebody else, for the pigment of their epidermis is freaking insane. It doesn't make any sense. Right? But that doesn't mean that racism doesn't exist. It's real, man. There are real racist people out there. Morons. If you're racist, let me just tell you something. You're a moron. Okay? You don't have any idea what it is to be a real human being. Do ya? Do ya? You know? There's even people who are racist against white people. In fact, that seems to be the most popular form of racism today. Don't you think? You know? White people are the new N-words of society to a large degree. And, you know, you get people calling you a cracker or whitey or, you know, oh, you white people don't know nothing about this. It's just like, that's racist, bro. Okay? Just because you're part of a race that white people used to discriminate against doesn't mean that discriminating against white people because of their race is ethical. You know? You're simply repeating the same mistakes that my race allegedly has made in the past. Okay? How about we stop talking like that, okay? How about we adopt what Morgan Freeman said about racism? He said something along the lines of, I'll tell you what, he's interviewing a guy, a dude who was Jewish, was interviewing a name of Michael or something like that, and he says, here's how I feel about race. You're Jewish, right? And he goes, yep. Okay, and he goes, no, you're not. You're Michael. I'm black, right? And he goes, yep. And he goes, no, I'm not. I'm Morgan. Okay? And I thought that was really, really profound. The quality of your character is what should define you, not the pigment of your epidermis. I think that's pretty straightforward, quite profound, and very important for people to recognize, because we are divided upon so many issues these days because of the fact that we have these artificial blockages, okay? If you're going to talk about, say, George Carlin had this really right, you know, anything that's different about each country, about people in this country, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, jobs, income, sexuality, anything that the bankers can do so that they can keep running off with all your money. And this is the whole divide and conquer thing, man. I like to be able to bring people together. I like to be able to have fun and laughs and talk about really serious issues that people won't touch because they're too afraid of the implications. There's a reason for that. It's because I'm not willing to live life in a vacuous bubble. Okay, I'm willing to justify my existence, not because I simply exist, but because my existence is actually meant for something greater, something meaningful, something with purpose. If you find the purpose in your life and you deny it because you're afraid of getting attacked, if you're afraid of getting called a racist, if you're afraid of being called names, if you're afraid of being accused of things that are not true, then there is no savior for you. You are your own worst enemy. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. Don't be afraid. Just speak it. Anyway, chips fall where they may. What do you got to lose that the elite aren't going to take from you anyway? You know, that's part of the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. Other than the fact that I really can't be employed by people who are scumbags. Other than the fact that I'm a really damaged individual. This is not the reason why I'm doing this. It's actually because I want to do something important with my life. I'm not willing to sit back and watch my fellow brothers and sisters in the human race be killed, tortured, demonized, attacked, and sabotaged by the New World Order. I will not tolerate that kind of crap. I don't tolerate anybody doing it. I'm intolerant of intolerance. I know that sounds ironic, but it's the truth. If you see somebody being attacked, if you see somebody being viciously accused and gang stalked, and you do nothing to help them, what is your excuse? What is your justification for that? The answer is there really isn't a justification to do nothing to help your fellow man. Your fellow man needs your help. Always has. Always will. And to claim that it's not your responsibility is an abdication of your personal power. You have a moral obligation to serve your species for good. I think it was Thomas Paine who said that my country is the world and my religion is to do good. And I think that's a really important lesson. And the founding fathers were men ahead of their times. They saw the situation that we're going through right now and they tried to draft a piece of paper of general rules that they in their wisdom concocted to prevent this kind of nonsense from happening. And of course, just like most great thinkers, they don't get taught about in schools, because the schools are created by a system that has little use for critical thinking, a system that has little use for creative potential. This is the reality that we must deal with, and we must confront it if we are to survive. I genuinely believe that. If we allow ignorance, if we allow evil, if we allow scumbaggery, then we are just as much to blame for the way society turns out as the ones who are perpetrating said scumbaggery. I mean, there's another a great quote: the only thing that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing, and good women for that matter. You know, just think about this. If you do nothing, and you claim to be a good person, are you really a good person? Are you really a good person? If you see these bad things going on around you, and you accept them, tolerate them, and allow them to continue, I say not. You're not a good person if you allow that kind of thing to happen. And it doesn't take an awful lot of effort in order to at least do something, just a little thing. You know? I mean, when I was driving, after taking care of one of the autistic boys I used to be paid to take care of, I was driving along the road, and I saw these two kids on the side of the road, and one of them had their pant leg caught in the pedal of their bike, and they'd fallen over on the side of the road. What would you do? You saw two kids on the side of the road after one of them's just had a bike crash. What would you do? Nothing. You just keep driving, wouldn't you? I didn't. I stopped my car, got out, held the child's leg, unwound the tangled up bicycle pedal, helped them up, asked them if they needed a lift somewhere, and I said, no, thank you very much for helping us, we can ride home now. And I go, all right, well, just make sure you tuck your pant leg into your socks, otherwise it's going to happen again. And they did, and I don't know any idea what happened to those kids, or even if they made it home. What matters is I saw something happening right in front of me. I had the ability to do something about it and to change that situation for that particular person who I didn't even know. Right in that very moment, there I was, and I did it, and I made sure that I helped somebody. It was not my obligation. They weren't my kids. I didn't even know who they are. I didn't even ask their name. I just helped them anyway. I know, because of doing things like that, that I am a good man, and I have justification for doing what it is that I do. Anybody tries to accuse me of anything otherwise, they are a douchebag who doesn't know me, doesn't have a clue. I'm a very, very good friend to my friends. I know there's many times when my mates have called me at like 4 o'clock in the morning or something after having a fight with their missus and need a place to crash for the night. And I give it to them. You know, it's got to be done. It's about responsibility, okay? You not only just have a responsibility to yourself and to do what you think is right, but you also have a responsibility to help those around you that you can. Now, I can't help certain people, especially those who can't help themselves. But very occasionally, you will encounter these people who, in a really bad situation, terrible situation, their life has been destroyed, and just taking a moment to show them that you give a frack when all other people that they have encountered and told their story to have not, makes up for everything that is wrong that has been done for them, and gives them hope that there is somebody out there, at least just the one, being a representation of the human condition that has not given in to the brainwashing and programming that tells you to keep your head down, to not care about other people, to not help others. You can literally, I mean, it doesn't matter what's happened to you, how bad these things have gotten. Have you been, I don't know, attacked, destroyed, manipulated? Had your life taken apart at the seams? Many have. When this happens to you, doesn't matter how many times a bad thing happens to you, one person, just one, doing something kind for you without having any obligation. It's not their job. They ain't getting paid. They ain't getting rewarded. They're just doing it for you because it's the right thing. It instantly restores their faith in humanity. You could have had 100 bad things happen to you in a row, and then one person does one good thing, boom, your faith in humanity is back. Your depression goes away. Your hope returns. This is the power that each and every one of you has. And I encourage you, nay, I order you, if you were to ever follow an order, any order, follow this one. Help people, if you can. Help to restore their faith in humanity, especially those who have seen the worst of it. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks. stop that education gap from occurring, you've got to put out learning material, much like we're doing on YouTube and on the radio per day. You will learn a hell of a lot more listening to this radio show than you would doing a PhD or master's degree at any university on earth. Guaranteed. No doubt, no problem. All right? I do understand that if it's going to be your opportunity, I mean, your opportunity to contribute something to the world, if you want that opportunity, you had best learn a lot even before going out and doing something. Like when I first started out doing all of this, I was listening to American talk radio 5 days a week. I was maybe even six, and watching a couple of documentaries a day. After a while, you start to realize that, hey, just absorbing information is not enough. I need to go out and apply this. And that's when I quit my job, bought a camera and an iMac, and just went out to the protests and public meetings and started filming them. Learning how to edit, learning how to shoot, learning how to find out who to interview at protests. Usually the people with the microphones or the megaphones. You know, it's just that simple. You just waltz right on up to them after they finish speaking, and you do a quick interview. You ask them what they think, who they are, etc. And you'll be surprised at the quantity of information that you can get off of these people. It's only surprising, of course, if the only previous experience you've had of activists and seeing them talk is on television, broadcast news, where they talk for about 4 seconds before being cut off as a sound bite. You know? That's the thing. Sound bites teach you nothing. Nothing. Don't listen to somebody for 4 seconds and think that you know an issue. Listen to them for 2 hours. And then you'll only even have a slight grasp of what they're talking about. Learning is an intense thing, and it is not safe. Okay, there's another thing that people are really, really, really not clued up about. Education is not safe. It is dangerous. It is painful. It destroys your perception of yourself, your perception of reality. It changes everything about your life to simply understand through listening, through looking, precisely what is going on. And to find out what's going on, and to find out that it's really not that great, and to find out that, hey, everything actually sucks, and is controlled by scumbaggery agents of the New World Order, to not tolerate that kind of scumbaggery, I think is the height of education. To go out and actually start exposing said scumbaggery is what's known as wisdom. Knowledge without wisdom is useless. Knowledge is simply facts on a page. Wisdom is how you utilize that. That's what the alternative media, I think, is now become, is a de facto online university. Okay? You are receiving your higher education right now by listening to American Freedom Radio. That's it at the end of the day. I found when I was kind of growing up, that I didn't like hanging around people that were just as smart as I was. I didn't like hanging around people that were dumber than I was either. Sometimes I would just lack a choice. I didn't have any options. And after high school, I started to realize that, hey, I don't actually have to hang out with people like that. And I choose to almost exclusively associate with people who are better than me in some way. All right? They're either smarter than I am, more kindly, have certain talents, skills, gifts, abilities, any part of their character or their abilities that is superior to my own in some way, shape, or form makes you a good friend to me. Not because I'm trying to steal whatever it is off you, but because you have something that I don't have, something that helps me to complete my training, you know, in the Jedi sense of the word. And The second part of this, not only is the problem with society a lack of education and a lack of people even being motivated to question their own belief structures, and I think that's the alternative media's role to a large extent now, but also is the media itself. Okay, and see, it dovetails, doesn't it? The alternative media solves both problems. It solves the problems of BS media, and it solves the problems of BS education systems. Two birds with one stone, baby. Seriously. That's why the alternative media is just so, so very, very important to the future of humanity. I don't want to undersell it. Alternative media is the reason why humanity can and will be freed from the clutches of the New World Order. Remember that. Remember that when you attack people in the alternative media, that they're actually there to try and save your ass. And you want to hate them for it? You want to attack them for it? Are you freaking crazy? And the answer is yes, of course you're crazy. Because you've been listening to too much mainstream media. Because you've been indoctrinated by too much public education. You've been brainwashed by too much university education. You're too critical. They don't teach you how to think for yourself. They don't want you to think for yourself. They want you to shut up. They want you to repeat after me. They want you to say the Pledge of Allegiance to a flag that is now a corporation. That's what the education system teaches you. And it's all a big lie. And I know that it's really painful when you realize that everything's a big freaking lie and you have to start again. You have to start again. Isn't that frustrating? Isn't that painful? Isn't that one of the nastiest things that people have to put up with? You know? The fact that everything you've been working towards your entire life has been in preparation for a future that no longer exists. That's really sad, man. And I can understand why a lot of truthers get depressed, get really angry and start flying off the handle a bit, start accusing everybody of crap left, right and centre because they've got such a painful growth process to go through, okay? They're coming out of like 20, 30, 40 plus years, however long it took you to wake up, however long it took. Once you come out of that, it's, as I say before, like losing a loved one. You know, you love your life, you love your money, you love your job, you love your wife, and then you realize that it's all BS. You know, everything that you used to define yourself with, I'm educated and such, I'm employed at so. Mm-hmm. And then somebody comes along and says that nothing you've done in your entire life up to this point has mattered one iota to the future of humanity. You really want to hate that person, don't you? Frick, you want to tell that person that they should be killed, that they should be arrested, that they should be tasered? You know? These are the kind of comments that I get. Even if I have an amicable conversation with a police officer, and we both are very friendly and have some fun together while we're having a conversation while they're preventing me from processing, I still get comments on the YouTube channel saying that he should have not talked to me. He should have just straight up killed me for protesting against scumbaggery. Yeah? Just because they don't believe what it is that I'm saying. It makes me the bad guy. And you have to deal with that. All day, every day, with these pituitary retards who have nothing in their head but rocks and frickin' nuts and screws and bolts. They've got mechanical thinking. They can't think laterally. They can only think literally. You know? Like, if I deny that carbon taxes are going to save us, therefore I love oil companies and love polluting the environment and love making 200 species a day go extinct or whatever. No! You don't have any information. It's not one or the other. There are more things involved here. and people don't have that capacity to a large extent. It's growing. I'm not going to deny that. And this is the good, and this is the, what's really encouraging to me, at least, is we're actually winning this war. Can you believe it, ladies and gentlemen? After freaking 100-plus years of public education, media manipulation, and scumbaggery agencies of the New World Order and the private banking cartels inexorably attempting to subvert the entirety of the human race from having the ability to give a frack about each other or learn anything that is of any value, we're turning back the clock in less than a decade. This last 10 years in the truth movement have exploded ever since 9/11. It is an exponential growth pattern. We are becoming more and more popular. More are we listened to. More do people begin to understand the obviousness and the graphic, violent nature of the truth behind things. Just because there's a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery that are basically in charge of virtually every single policy doesn't mean we can't beat them. We are beating them. Have a look on any YouTube or Facebook thread that talks about a mainstream issue. And a lot of the time, you will see truthers on there explaining the truth, providing documentation, evidence, links for that truth to be backed up. And guess who opposes them? People with no information, people with no facts, people who resort to ad hominem argument, which means we've already won the argument because they don't even have one. You pathetic little scum. I mean, and also, this is another thing that truthers tend to do, and I think I'm guilty of that as well, is you treat people badly. Yeah, we do, don't we? We call them slaves, we call them scum, because they just don't get what's going on. And at the end of the day, we used to be like that, didn't we? Well, a lot of us did. Some of us were born questioning things, and we're always on the outside, and somehow came across a bit of evidence that really solidified your own opinion on the world. But, you know, at the end of the day, we didn't all be born into a woken up position. We were all alleged slaves and alleged scum at some point. And to turn around and say that it's everybody else's fault but mine is an abdication of your personal responsibility. And you can just be patient with people and just hope, like frack, that six other people tell them the same thing that you did. Because that's all it takes, seven people to tell you the same thing. Just play your part. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I want to play a song for you now. It's a song me and my friend Mikhail Pierce, together we are the Pakehachis. It's the Pakeha and the Mariachi. And we wrote this song to dedicate... there's a bit of feedback in the background there. It's weird. We wrote the song to kind of dedicate to all of those people out there in the truth movement and many others that have basically suffered at the hands of the system itself whilst being completely innocent and minding their own frickin' business. So, AFR, if you could play that song there, that'd be lovely. It's a little YouTube thingy. I can't hear it just yet.
Don't know this fact, but I'm actually a bit of a musician. And I played Suzanne this song earlier today, and I wanted to play it for the audience, if you're cool with that, Suzanne.
Absolutely, it's a good song.
All right. It's called Innocent, and I think we've all felt like this from time to time, you know. I don't have any idea how long it's going to play for.
is watching the clouds passing by. Looking across the street to another cop giving me the evil eye. He approaches right through the passing cars, and he is the kind I despise. He roughed me up and he pushed me down. He turned my
There we go. Frack, that was awesome. Even if I do say, myself. Yeah, I was just like, it's actually quite fun to think of the idea that you got all this creative potential within all of us that's just waiting to get out. And my mate Mikhail, my bandmate, he's one half of the Pakehachis, which is the Pakeha and the Mariachi, by the way. If you search that on Facebook, I only just created the Pakehachis Facebook page today, and I really do think we've done a whole album and posted all the songs on that page, so I really encourage people to go there, and there's links to the Pakehachis page on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com as well. So if you can download all of those songs there for free. And I do think that this is part of my creative outlet that is only possible, and this is the one of the great points about being a human being, it's only possible because of my mate Mikhail. You know? He's, in my opinion, one of the best guitarists in the country. And it's not because he's, like, on stage and has done all of this stuff and blah, blah, blah. It's actually because he's really talented at simply playing the guitar off of the top of his head. Just, that's what we do. I'm really good at making up songs off the top of my head, and he's really good at playing them off the top of his head. And every single song that we make has been done with zero practice, zero preparation, and simply sing it and it comes out. And then afterwards, we review it and then just go, man, that was actually a really good song. Write out the lyrics, change a few things around here or there, practice it, re-record it, do a little bit of audio engineering, and boom, we've got a finished song. And often that takes about 24 hours. So from coming up with an original song to actually having a finished product, for us, takes less than 24 hours. You know, in the music business, I think it takes like years sometimes to come up with a new album, and sometimes it takes months to come up with a new song. And because we just kind of jam together and have that really good vibe sort of thing, it's so much easier. And I don't know if anybody else out there wants to join us and help out. We need a drummer and a bassist, and it'd be cool to have like a whole band together. So if you're in Auckland and you're actually reliable, that's the other thing. We're reliable. We say we're going to be somewhere, we go somewhere, unless there's a very, very good reason why not. So yeah, please contact us if you're keen on joining the band, because we don't have no drums. It's just a flamenco guitar and a voice at this point, and a few other musicians involved would be really great as well. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to support my mission to expose scumbaggery, give the activists whom you should be listening to the coverage that they deserve on an ongoing basis. By all means, and I implore you, please, please support me. Go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, click that subscribe button. It doesn't take a lot. Just a couple of dollars a month is what I need from you in order to continue doing this operation in perpetuity with perpetual growth. This is what capitalism was supposed to be about. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening.